in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus launches into a very severe attack on the Pharisees and the scribes. It's just scathing criticism. Woe to you. He says it over and over again. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. We read some of these attacks or criticisms on Monday. Then yesterday we had a break because it was the feast of St. John the Baptist, so we didn't read some of the woes. But then today we continue with Jesus' criticism of the scribes and Pharisees. It seems that he reserves his sharpest attacks for the scribes and the Pharisees. And this is something that's well worth pondering. If you follow the Catholic press and the Catholic media, you know that Pope Francis very regularly criticizes traditionalists and conservative-leaning Catholics, very often. There was just another interview recently where he spoke in particular about the conservatives and Catholics in the United States. He called them backwardists. I never heard that word before, but backwardists. So instead of going forward, they go backward. Now, this is not the place to get into those debates about Pope Francis's emphasis and his way of leading, because it's not appropriate for a liturgy. It doesn't inspire. We need to ponder the word, and we need to ponder how God is speaking to us and leading us. But there's something worth reflecting on here, because the reaction of the traditionalists is to the criticisms of the Pope is usually something like this. Why is he attacking us? We're the faithful ones. We're the ones who are trying to preserve the sacred liturgy and trying to do things properly. And he attacks us, closes the door on us, but he opens the door to the gays and to the people who are divorced and remarried and to the people who are scandalous. What is this? And I think we all understand why they react that way, because that's how we would always react. Whenever we're attacked or criticized, we stand up for ourselves and say, well, we don't deserve to be treated like that. Well, that's exactly how the Pharisees reacted. That's why I'm making this comparison. It's disturbing, but it's very important that we take this into a deeper level in our own hearts, because we're always ready to defend ourselves and to show that we're in the right and others are in the wrong. And the Pharisees, you know their criticism of Jesus. Why do you eat with tax collectors and prostitutes? And you don't eat with us. Why are you treating them better than you treat us? It's a good question. Why is Jesus so critical of the Pharisees? We don't have any passages in the Bible where he says, woe to you, you prostitutes, woe to you, you tax collectors, woe to you. But he does say woe to you to the Pharisees over and over again. Well, part of the reason for this is that Jesus knows well the danger of sin when it's not acknowledged. People who are obvious sinners, tax collectors and prostitutes, they can't deny that they're sinners. Everybody knows they're sinners. Now, they might not repent, that's their problem. But if they acknowledge we're failures, we have not lived a holy life, we are in desperate need of the mercy of God, Lord, have mercy, then they're in a better position before God than the Pharisees are, who insist on their righteousness. Now, this is very well established in the church's tradition, that among the seven deadly sins, you know the seven deadly sins: pride, envy, anger, avarice, gluttony, lust, sloth. The worst sins are not anger and lust. That's the ones that everybody thinks of. Because you look at, or greed. We look at corrupt politicians, we look at violent criminals, we look at people who fall into sexual sins, and we say, well, those are the worst sins. Not according to the church's tradition. The worst of the seven deadly sins, the most dangerous, is pride. Pride. Why is that the most dangerous? It doesn't look that bad. Because it blocks the door to God's mercy. And this is why, I think this is part of the reason why Jesus is so harsh with the Pharisees, because they are proud. They're self-righteous. This description of them is really, really offensive. He says, Pharisees, you are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautiful on the outside, but inside are full of dead men's bones and every kind of filth. No wonder they're offended by him. That's a very strong criticism. You look good on the outside, but inside you're dead and corrupt. You're full of hypocrisy and evil doing, even though you appear righteous. See, the problem of appearing righteous is not that we fool God. God knows exactly what's in our hearts, but that we deceive ourselves. Maybe we deceive others too, but often people can see right through us. But we deceive ourselves. We tell ourselves we're someone who we're not. We live with a false self-concept or self-image. And that self-righteousness is absolutely disastrous for the spiritual life. We're better off acknowledging that we're full of sin, that we have sinned, that we are sinners, that we are in need of God's mercy. We're much better off. We might not look as good, but we're better off before God because we're living in the truth. Now, this doesn't mean that we should just go around sinning and boasting about sinning. Of course not. But neither should we go around boasting about being holy, because we're not, unless God makes us holy. We cannot claim any righteousness based on our accomplishments. That's the very danger of the Pharisees. That's the danger of pride. Pride is to take on ourselves a false claim that we are righteous. If we are righteous, it's because God has made us holy. If we're saved, it's because God saves us. Now, in today's first reading, we hear St. Paul, who was a Pharisee, remember? He fit exactly into this category of the hypocrites, the scribes and Pharisees. He was exactly in this trap of thinking himself righteous. But when he met Jesus Christ and he realized, oh, I was completely wrong. I all my great accomplishments and all my lofty appearances of righteousness, that's rubbish. Paul says it himself. So here's Paul speaking to the Thessalonians. And if you read this passage slowly, you see it, and this is actually a continuation from yesterday. He acts as if he's some kind of superstar. We worked, we didn't burden you, we toiled, we took on toil and drudgery. And he says, you are witnesses, you Thessalonians, you are witnesses, and so is God. Everyone knows that we behaved devoutly and justly and blamelessly toward you. Who is this guy? He's talking about being blameless and just and devout. He says, we treated you like a father treats his children. In yesterday's reading, you might have noticed, he says, we treated you with the tenderness of a mother for her children. So he's a mother, he's a father, he is a great apostle. And it sounds as if he's building up a case for showing them why they should follow him. But as you read on, he quickly changes direction, and he says this: we give thanks to God unceasingly that in receiving the word of God from hearing us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it truly is, the word of God. So you see how he shifts the focus? It doesn't matter how good he is. It's better to have a good leader. It's good to have a good apostle, a holy preacher. That's very good. Someone who's devout and just and blameless. That's better. But even if we have someone as holy as St. Paul, that's not the basis on which we are building our spiritual life. We're not basing our holiness on the word of man, but on the word of God. Paul is only an instrument of the word of God. He puts this contrast, he sets us up. As if he's saying, I'm a great guy and I'm blameless. Then he says, but your faith is not based on the word of man. It's not based on human holiness. or blamelessness. It's based on the word of God, which is now at work in you who believe. You see how different this is than the attitude of the Pharisees. The Pharisees focuses on what they're doing, what they have done, what they can do, how they've proven themselves holy. And that's a trap for any one of us. If our focus is on ourselves, we're either going to boast, build ourselves up with self-righteousness, or we're going to condemn ourselves because we're such bad sinners. Both of those are wrong. The whole focus is wrong. The focus should be on God, on the word of God, which is now at work in us who believe. This is the gift, to be set free from that trap of either self-righteousness or self-condemnation, that trap of self-focus. That trap just makes us a tomb, either a beautiful tomb or an ugly tomb. But either way, we're dead inside. Life comes from God, not from the word of man, but from the word of God, which is now at work in us as we believe. So this is what we're doing when we ponder the word. We're not trying to make a case. We're not trying to argue about church politics or conservatives and liberals and all that stuff. What we're doing is placing ourselves before God, acknowledging our sinfulness, acknowledging our need for him, and letting him do the work of saving us. That's faith at work. So let's allow the word of God to work in us. We have to allow the piercing criticism of Jesus to work in us. We're the Pharisees. We have to allow the beautiful witness of St. Paul to work in us. We're the disciples of the apostles. But either way, it's the word of God, it's the power of God at work, changing us, transforming us, making us holy. So that way we don't boast about it, because we don't have anything to boast about. We're just allowing God to do the great work he wants to do in us.